Hello and welcome to the Soft Shoulder Podcast. This is a podcast about creativity, self-love, growing through your breakups, and marrying yourself. My name is Danette Relic. I am a coach. I am an author. I am an artist. I am celebrating my birthday a day early. I contain multitudes, as do you. Let's learn about and love every facet of who we are. Special thanks to the magical assistance of tech witch Allison Tarr. And the music you are swaying to right now is by Lee Rosevear. The Soft Shoulder is brought to you by my book, Crash Bloom, a creative guide for growing through your breakup, available wherever you enjoy buying books. So I'm doing something a little different, a little spontaneous. This might fail if you're listening to it. That means I'm taking a risk. And I thought, maybe it won't fail. But as you know, if you've been listening or following around for some time, you know that one of my favorite long-standing self-love rituals is the birthday litter ritual. So since I wrote the first one in the year 2000. It, funny enough, was right around the time when I was marrying myself. I didn't even notice that those two things coincided, but I wrote a letter in the year 2000 for myself to open on my birthday in 2001. And I've been doing that every year since. And it has been such an incredible journey. I know many of you have joined me, sometimes sporadically, spontaneously. Sometimes you have picked up the practice and do it every year. There's no like rule. You don't have to do it every year or not at all. I think anytime you want to do something kind for your future self, do it. And you're going to enjoy it. And then you might feel inspired to do it again. And if you don't, then don't. Because remember, all of the things that like I might suggest or that you might hear about are, oh, this is such a great thing to do. When it becomes a job, when it becomes a checklist, when it becomes a chore, then it's not making you feel good. And if it's not making you feel good, that is really missing the point. We don't need another message telling us we're doing self-love wrong. I don't want you writing a letter to yourself for your birthday next year being like, oh, Danette said this is supposed to work, but I'm just like, I can't be bothered and I don't want to do this. Like, please don't. Just don't do that. You know, you might be inspired another time or for another occasion. Obviously, your birthday is not the only time you can do this. You can do this any way you like. But I find birthdays, you know, it was just something I decided to do all those years ago. And it's been so interesting. For me, part of the joy is the building collection of letters over the years. I have a stack. Maybe you would see it on Instagram. There might be some previous posts there from when I used to post of this like a bundle of letters, colored envelopes wrapped up with a ribbon. And I've learned so much along the way. In fact, if you sign up for my newsletter, I believe, and I will make sure this is true if I'm wrong, but you will get a link to a free guidebook helping you just like walk through this process of like why this matters, some helpful tips to get started. And it's just, you know, I know many of you have looked at the guidebook and improvised in your own way as well. It's amazing. One of the things I touch on in there is just, you know, this isn't, you know, this might just be a cute, fun, you know, reason for you to buy cards or like surprise yourself with something and say happy birthday. And that's enough. And if that's your style, that's awesome. Some of us like to go in a little deeper, reflect, take it as an opportunity to reflect upon the year. It becomes an incredible time capsule. If you are a parent and you are like, oh, I should get my kids to do this, which I've heard so many times, I also think it's so beautiful. If the kids are a really big motivation, then, you know, consider what an incredible gift it would be for them to have this bundle of letters that their mom wrote to herself every year on her birthday. Like, what an amazing, beautiful keepsake. that is just goes beyond old photographs, you know? It's a treasure, but that's not why we're doing it. We're doing it for ourselves for this lifetime. And I know sometimes we need a little motivation, and if we can kind of trick ourselves into thinking this is really cool for my kids, then whatever gets you writing. I just want you to experience taking this time to reflect on the person that you are. And of course, as we know, as I speak about very often on The Soft Shoulder, there are years of heartbreak. There are times when we come around to a birthday and it's like, ooh, this year was hard. This year was full of loss. This year, the person who wrote the card I'm about to open had no idea what was in store for them. They did not know what storm was coming. And so it can be this incredible, and I think this is so beautiful. I kind of love this. It really reminds me of just life, the nature of life, and how it's always changing and how it's unpredictable, and how we can use rituals such as these to, you know, like a way to tether onto the thing, onto our hearts, onto the love that is carrying us through the years of, you know, of hard times and beautiful times, right? Of storms and of rainbows, of loss and of beautiful harvest. You know, life is full of all of these things. We don't really know what's coming. And so, of course, this year, as my birthday was approaching, I'm like, okay, here's the year. Here's the year where I'm going to read the last letter that I write while I had both of my parents living in this world. My dad passed away in June, and I'm going to open this card. And the person who wrote this card didn't know that she had about almost exactly actually to the day. Actually, yes, I'm recording this on December 6th and he died June 6th. So this is like, I didn't know last year on my birthday that I had six more months with this incredible man, right? And so I don't usually do this. It's a private affair for me. Usually I go to a coffee shop and I have like a little moment. But this year, my celebrations are a little bit different. And I'm not sure if I went to a coffee shop, but I went and met a friend. And I, you know, I'm caffeinated. I don't know. I'm here. I've got my little cute Christmas tree up. I'm like, I'm just going to clear the table and I'm going to open up. And this year I bought myself a gift, which I think I maybe have done once. Like to open, like I wrapped it. So I don't always do that. My experience is when it comes to rituals of self-care, self-love, I try to lower the bar. Like I want the luxury of love to be there, but I also don't want to start putting pressure on myself to every year. Now it's another thing I got to do in the holiday season is like figure out what I'm going to buy myself. Like I just don't want it to be an obligation. So spontaneity is wonderful. So the reason why I was saying I don't know if this is going to be a failure or not is there's no video for this podcast, but I'm going to open my gifts live-ish. I'm going to open my letter right now. The reason why I'm choosing to do this, and I'm not, again, this is an experiment because, you know, you might read about self-love. I've been public in a lot of ways. I used to have, you know, an active Instagram account. I have this podcast where I share about my life and my marriage to myself. But you don't, part of the thing that I often just like, I find very interesting and I like to reflect upon is this idea of performing self-love. And obviously I'm sharing because, you know, I want to communicate with you. This is like the work I'm doing in the world. I want my people to be able to find me and be inspired. And, you know, potentially these will be people who do come and work with me. And we develop these, you know, whether I help you get married to yourself or figure out what self-love rituals are right for you, spend some time rediscovering yourself, right? Obviously, I can't be just hiding away without letting anyone know. So there's that part about, obviously, there's like some element of me needing to share with the larger sphere. And at the same time, I don't want to model another way where it's like, oh, if I really loved myself, I would, you know. I remember having this conversation about body acceptance and body love. And, You know, that's definitely been a big theme on my journey that I've shared a smidge on. That's something I still keep private and personal to me. But my relationship with my body and the changes in my body have been a huge theme in my self-marriage for like the whole time, but especially in the last 8 years or so. And I remember discussing this with someone who was on a similar journey and finding confidence in her body as it has changed, and felt this pressure to do that kind of like go on social media and, you know, wear revealing clothing and like declare that they love their body and like join this body positivity, like all the hashtags, and didn't want to do that. And it was just so funny that that was like, that needed to be said, that there was some kind of pressure, like, oh, I don't really love myself if I'm not willing to be so visible and declare it in this very public way. You don't owe anyone anything about your life and your relationship with yourself, and especially your relationship with your body. It is not for public consumption unless you truly want to, unless you truly enjoy and feel empowered by that act of sharing. There's no judgment on the sharing at all. It's that, you know, that's what we see. So if that's all we're seeing, then you might, you know, we don't see the people who, I'm sure there are people who have married themselves who have told absolutely no one and have no plans to tell anyone at all. And then there's those of us who have married ourselves and there's some hashtags and there's some flood, you know, we kind of go, oh, there's another one, whatever. Sometimes people are sharing like their ceremonies, pictures, this kind of thing. I love reading the stories. And also, I just remember how important it was for me to keep things private. When I married myself, I barely told my friends. I did everything very like privately because I didn't want the influence of anyone else. I didn't want any input, not even congratulations. I didn't want praise or criticism. I wanted to just be in my own sphere. And this is long before, I didn't have a computer. Never mind a cell phone, or smartphones were not around, but I didn't even have a computer, my first computer at the time, okay? So it was easier to have that kind of privacy, much less pressure. But even like, I didn't even just tell my close friends, you know? And so I also, in my work, I want to support you and hold space for that. That if like you have been following and wondering and thinking about marrying yourself, but you think, oh, I don't want to have to be the, I don't want to have a spotlight on me in any way. You don't have to. And actually, I would love to be that person in that like secret place where we can find your way of marrying yourself. And it can be just as wonderful and meaningful, even if nobody sees it. Even if there's zero hashtags and you don't even tell your friends, you don't have to tell anyone. I love that. I think it's very powerful to choose to do something that is just for you. And I think these days, especially, it's harder and harder to do that. So much guilt. I know there's like so much talk about permission, and it can seem silly for all these adults, usually women, talking about permission giving. And yet there's something about that word that really helps me and helps my clients and a lot of people I know just kind of release these pressures or expectations that, you know, have been placed upon us, you know? So all that said about you do you and you be private and all this stuff, I thought, I have this gift. And here's something that I did, another little element of the ritual I brought in was another friend of mine was moving and was kind of sad and happy about moving. And bought a little like set of, I don't know if it was prayer beads or like a little beaded like bracelet or something that was special and significant about a new beginning. And she hung it on a little hook right by the front door. It might've even been on the handle of the front door. So every time she was coming in and out, she would see the beads, she'd touch the beads. It was a reminder that soon she'd be leaving. And the intention behind this was that once everything was packed, once everything was in the van, once it was that last moment, the last moment where she's closing the door, the bracelet or the beads was going to be the last thing to come with her. She wasn't going to put it on until she left. And I thought, oh God, I just love that. And so I was thinking about that when I wrapped up my little present and I had it in a gift bag, which I don't normally, I like boxes. I love wrapping boxes and folding and the crease and the tape. I love all that stuff, but I didn't have a box. I had a bag and I hung it by my door. It's been hanging by my door for about a week. It has pink and purple tissue paper peeking out of the top. It's just a little brown bag. And every time I've come in and out in this past week leading up to my birthday, I've just been reminded that my birthday is coming, that there's a celebration coming. This is also a first without. This is the first birthday without my dad here. And it was just this beautiful way of like, oh, my past self was thinking of my future self. And every time I come through the door, I can just touch base. It's this beautiful reminder. So that's been really special. And honestly, I slipped my card, my birthday letter in here from last year. And so I'm going to open this on the podcast. It is possible I will edit it out because I don't know what's in here, but I don't know. I'm going to take a chance. Take a chance with me. So here's my little bag. Might get a little crinkly. Might get a little loud. Okay. It's a thick envelope. If I was applying for a university, that would be a great sign. It says 2004, and it looks like I have reused an envelope that was gifted probably from my mom and dad. It's my mom's handwriting that says, "Happy birthday, Danette." So I took that envelope and then I collaged over top of it. It's sealed shut. I know what the gifts are because I bought them and I wrapped them. One of them is this like beautiful little cross stitch kit for a bumblebee on a purple background. And it's very pretty. And there's a little bit of like lip gloss and some pink eyeshadow in there. I know what those are, but I'm excited to open those. But right now I want to get into this letter. Okay, we've got washi tape. Is she so cute? Oh, she's so cute. I really have no idea. This is like one of the things that I find so fun every year is that even though I put this together, even though I wrote this, I every year it's a surprise. Oh my God. Okay. I really went for it with the little memorabilia. This is so funny. Oh, okay. I'm going to pull it all out. There's a whole bunch of little pieces. Here we go. Here we go. What have I got? Okay. Oh my goodness. I forgot about this. Okay. So sometimes I write a letter. Sometimes I do some like reflecting, like a highlight reel or reflection of like what I'm proud of or what happened, what was eventful, like just kind of a little, the year in review. And sometimes I slip in little things that like just are playful, like little scraps. Like if it was a scrapbook, cause it kind of is in a way, little things of significance. So there's like a little piece of rainbow, paper that was, and actually I wrote on the back, "This paper wrapped pretty chocolates from Prince Edward County, a gift from Bree, and lunch at the hole in the wall." So like, I don't know if I would have remembered that otherwise, but yeah, my friend had brought me chocolates and I just kept a little piece of the pretty wrapping paper. I can see also a tiny picture of a cake and I'm pretty sure, oh no, I was wrong. I thought it was, by my niece, but it was by an adult. And I'm not going to mention names. I didn't mean to mention any names in here, but someone had sent me a card and drew a little picture of a cake. It was drawn by them and I colored it and cut it out and put it here. Also in this is the front box from the packaging of my nighttime realness palette that I ordered from Trixie Cosmetics, which was a really big deal to order. And I was so thrilled with it. And I'm one of those people who love a good box. I know if you're like me, you know, this is a problem so, a lot of the time, but it's such a nice box. But, I thought, okay, I can keep part of the box. I will put it into my birthday envelope. And I've written a note on the back of that. I won't read all of the things. Here is something that definitely looks like it is from my, no, it isn't from my niece. Okay. So this, it's funny, written, it was drawn by, I thought it was a little bit like Not quite her style. I wondered why I kept this one. Okay, so this is a little card for me. It's got a drawing, I'm assuming is a portrait of me on the front with my name. And it's by a little girl who's around the same age as my niece. But this was actually from way back from my childhood. As I was cleaning, you know, going through all like the nostalgia things that my parents kept. So like old school stuff, artwork. I found a bunch of notes from like when I was a young girl, notes passed in class, cards from like BFFs. And this was from a friend that used to go to, was in the same dance class as me, who I, you know, I remembered when I saw her name, but we, you know, we had a friendship as children, not as as teens or grownups. And it was just, it was a card thanking me for apologizing. And I thought, this is so weird because from the look, I'm going to say this person's like 9. And it's all like, I'm assuming it's also like Crayola markers drawing all this out. And this girl wrote, "I'm not very good at making notes, but anyways, here goes. Thank you for apologizing to me. It was very sweet. Sometimes sorry is hard to say." Could you imagine? I was like, we were children. And so I'm like, what did I do? And wow, I apologize. So definitely I have lots of not proud moments from my childhood, but I actually apologized to this person. And then she made a card to thank me for the apology. I know I must have put this in here because I think a lot, I reflect a lot about true apologies, effective apologies. I think a lot about forgiveness. I think about the times where I owed an apology and I didn't know. I didn't get it. My head was thick. I look back sometimes and I'm just like, oh, I was in the wrong. And it took years for me to realize, oh my God, I was in the wrong. What do you do when you remember that, right? That you caused harm and you didn't, you weren't accountable. And, you know, it's like so long gone. I mean, I have no idea what I did at age 9 to this person in my dance class. It was just a reminder to, you know, that we can do better, that I can do better. And I thought it was just so beautiful and generous of this girl to make me this card and thank me for the apology and acknowledge how difficult it was. I thought that was such a beautiful thing. I'm glad I kept that. It looks like usually it's handwritten. By the way, I've been doing this for like, you know, 24 years, right? So I go to town in these letters. You don't have to have a million things in your envelope. This is not like a way it has to go. But I think I now that I'm looking at this, so I don't usually type things, but I must have typed up a bunch lists of like what I was celebrating in 2023. And it's all divided by category. I have like friendships, work, money, health, well-being, like all these different life categories. And I just wanted to really reflect on what I was proud of and what I had accomplished. Because I think at the time, if I recall, I was being really hard on myself and very critical about like really looking at the ways I wanted to grow, which I know we can do so often in, you know, people who are drawn to like self-help and healing and improvement. We can be so focused on what's next and what needs, quote unquote, like needs fixing, and forget that we integrate by celebrating, by acknowledging what's already happened. We're not just speeding through. Okay, great. Made that accomplishment. Next, next, next. Like always looking for that next thing we need to fix. Like at what point are we enough, right? So we have to really go like, wow, this used to be difficult for me and now it's easy. This used to be something I obsessed over and now I'm bored of it. This used to be something that was just like, I thought was impossible and now it's just a part of my everyday life. And also, not just the list of celebrations and the stars and the flowers, but what did it take from you? Like, I will look at this later. But like, I know that for every little bullet point on this list of reflection, that there was, you know, a lot of skills I had to develop, possibly a lot of courage that I had to muster, humility, bravery, self-forgiveness, just patience. There's a lot that would go into every single one of those things. There's a sealed letter. There's a sealed letter here that I will read later, but it's sealed with a sticker from that says Crash Bloom Baby. I had ordered the stickers before the book was ready, and I'm very excited about that part of this year's letter because this is the first time I get to write a birthday letter to myself saying I published Crash Bloom. Every year it's been mentioned in here as like a, I'm very close, I'm so hopeful. And this is the year where it's been done. There's a small card in here that I've been saving for years. It says Radiant Beauty. It's a beautiful illustration of this woman with purple hair. It says illustrated by Yelena Brikenskova. Red cap cards. I know I bought this at that, I think it's a shop called Red Pegasus on College. I don't know if it's still there, but I've had it for years, intending to send it to myself at some point. And I finally did last year. So it looks like this is going to be a word heavy thing. I'll get into the content of the letters privately. I didn't realize it's very wordy. And it does mention a lot of details about other people who did not sign up to share on this podcast episode. But oh, I really look forward to reading these letters. I love the little tidbits and the little drawings. I did have a drawing from my niece in last year's letter. I think that's why I was very quick to make assumptions that I had carried the tradition. But yeah, what an interesting surprise. The pages... all handwritten, and I probably would have written it not on my birthday, but I probably would have written it within the month of December. I've been allowing myself lots of grace in terms of deadline because, you know, I think that like it's very easy to get into rules with things like that. Obviously, with rituals, you do want to honor the elements. You want to honor like certain things done in a certain order. That's the whole point. Well, not the whole point, but that's like part of the structure of having a ritual. And I found that, you know, it's easy to assume that you have to write the other letter like immediately on the day or I don't know what. I don't know what the fear is exactly. But it's usually so busy. I'm not always alone. I imagine, and I live alone. So I imagine if you don't live alone, you know, you've got, you might not have like the space to like, you know, people want to celebrate with you. They want to, you know, you have a dinner, you're having cake with your family. I don't know what you do, but it's like, you don't want to feel stressed that you have to take time away from celebrating your birthday to get your homework done. That's the way it kind of feels. December is usually quite a plump month of celebrating holidays, a little bit of a whimsical schedule for most people. So I give myself, you know, a few weeks after that, I gather up some things and I put them in the card and I'm excited to do that this year. And, you know, and my heart is like tender about it. You know, I don't know what I'm going to say when I sit down and think of Danette in 2025 and her opening up that letter. And for her, she'll be opening up the first letter that was written by a Danette who knows how long her dad was living for, you know? It's such a momentous thing. And also it's not the only thing, you know, the year I lost my dad is the year my book came out. And like, that has been a celebration that I have been like anticipating and dreaming of for like over a decade, you know, it's not a small thing. And, you know, these things will both be held in the same letter. These things will both, they're both being held by my heart. They're both, you know, in my life every day. And I know that you too have those things, like one hand holding, you know, a treasure that is like, feels heavy. And the other hand holding a treasure that maybe feels lighter. And they live together. They live together. You can feel them. You can feel the difference. You can feel the almost like the harmonizing between the two, you know, when like two singers are in harmony together. And then one of them does that nice little, I guess both of them would. I don't know. a little key change, you know, where one voice just kind of veers into a direction you weren't quite expecting. And it's like, oh, the sound gets a little bit more strange and somehow so much more beautiful. That's how I experience these things, right? The holding of the two things. Wow. So I guess this isn't like, I didn't read the letter. I wasn't thinking when I sat down with my gift bag that I was going to read like my basically like most personal diary entry like into the podcast, Mike. But it was nice to share that with you and to even like just like remember. And you know, there's a few other things that were in there. They're basically like little pieces of cardboard. One I recognize, it was the back of a journal. And I loved, it was like EcoJot, I think was the brand. I had this little notepads from them. And when I was done with this notebook, it needed to be recycled. The content was like, you know, it wasn't something I was keeping. But I loved the cover so much. And I cut part of the cover, like a little square of this cardboard with this pattern, this illustration that I loved. I know when I bought this, this was a long time ago. This is a piece of special cardboard I had in my collage materials forever. And I was like, what am I doing? I love this so much. I don't want to recycle it. And I have so many other postcards and stationery. Like I love it. And I collect it so much more frequently than I do send things. And so I just wrote a little note. I see those things as like postcards that I add into the envelope, right? Like the back of the Trixie Cosmetics palette. I wrote a little note on the back. So it's like a postcard from Trixie Cosmetics, right? Of that element. I have so many memories of, applying these blues. It was like honestly, I don't know if you're like on YouTube when she released this palette. When she releases any palette, it's like she'll try it on her wrist and she'll like, you know, demonstrate the colors. And I just, you know, I'm a color nerd. Maybe some of you are as well. I love how detailed and like she gets so deep into story when she's describing the colors. Other people would look and be like, that's blue. And she's like, no, she's like, she's got a whole other world. And it's like, I see it. There's a kindred spirit I recognize in people who describe color that way. But yeah, I have all these like cute little postcards. And what's nice about it is that there was something about, let's see, the journal cover and the cosmetics thing I wanted to keep. I loved it. I love this little reminder. But when they're just sort of sitting in a box or a filing cabinet or, you know, wherever you keep your collage supplies or scraps of things, if you're one of these, creative magpies like myself, I wasn't seeing them, right? Like, how often am I opening this up? Not as often as I would like. This way, I can select special things. If you went to an art gallery or a restaurant or whatever, and they had a postcard or some kind of little piece or piece of a menu, you know, you can write on the back and stick it in there. And when I fold up and put all this back into this envelope with my mother's handwriting on it, it's going to join the bundle of letters with the ribbon. And so it is like scrapbooking. I get to keep these things. All of these memories are in one place. It becomes easier too to make decisions when I'm decluttering my creative stuffs, my little scraps of cute boxes and paper and colors. Would I put this in a birthday envelope? Like, is it special enough to me that I would do that? And then if not, it helps me to declutter. But if it is really special, I'm like, well, why don't I just put that in the letter? That would be really nice. That's it. That's it for the letter. That's all you're getting. You're like, read it. No, I'm going to read it after I turn this off. And anyways, I don't know. I don't know if this was enjoyable. It's a little different from what I usually record here. I encourage you to sign up for my newsletter, The Letters from Danette, if you're not already on that list. If you are on my list and you missed the guidebook and you're like, oh, I never got that. Like, where is that? Email me and I will shoot you a link. You can always just respond to any of the letters that you receive from me. I'll shoot you the link for the birthday ritual guidebook. It's not a whole book. It's like a PDF, it's a multi-page PDF. It's a booklet. And I just like anything that you do to show yourself that you love yourself, to like be kind, to connect with yourself in a new way. It might be uncomfortable. It might be a little bit like you might feel bashful. And that's different from it feeling tedious and like a chore and icky, right? So I'm not saying only do this if it feels amazing, because the first one I wrote and several of these letters over the years have felt difficult to get into, like a little scary, a little bit of awe in the heart, you know, like, okay, like we're being intimate now. That's different from, ugh, like, is different from, ugh. You know? So, if you're feeling just slightly uncomfortable, I encourage you to give it a try. If this doesn't interest you at all, I doubt you're still listening. And I always love, some of you I know send me an email with a little picture of your envelope when you write it, or maybe on your birthday when you open it. I've been receiving those over the years from you, and I love it. I just absolutely love that. You don't have to read me the letter, but it's really sweet to see this. I love knowing that there's so many more of us who are brave enough, who are making space to get to know and love ourselves. It is such a wonderful way to be a better lover of others. That's what I believe. That's been my experience. I am standing by it. And I just think that, you know, you deserve this. You deserve to remember who you were, who you are becoming. You deserve to reflect upon your life in a way that is beautiful. You deserve that, you know, beautiful card at the indie bookstore that, like, you know, you would only buy for like your very best friend. You deserve to buy that card for yourself and to keep it. If you think about it, if you aren't a journaler, this is like an amazing time and space efficient way to document your life, right? I also have boxes of journals taking up a lot of room, but if you don't do any of that, it's just a bundle of letters, and it's just such a rich and gorgeous practice. You can start. It's never too late to start. Dear listener, you are someone worth loving. It all starts with you. Take good care of yourself. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.